All right, so for those of you, if any of you are, it's your first time here today, I am not the regular speaker, as Pastor Josh said. It's Pastor Wes, and I would encourage you to come back and certainly hear him. Don't, if you're looking for a place to come and worship, don't solely base it on today, okay? Come back here, Pastor Wes. I also like to say that if you really enjoy today's message, then just keep coming back every week, because there's a possibility that, you know, four or five times a year I may be up here speaking. So, and that's a good place to laugh, because that's what it was intended for. Also, I have a lazy eye. It's my left eye, so I can look at both sides at the same time sometimes. So, if you're sitting over here and you think I'm staring you down, I'm probably not. But you never know. But I don't want you to get freaked out by it. Let's start with our Bible declaration. Some things are just worth doing, right, in our religious routine. And this is a good religious routine. Hold your Bibles up towards heaven and say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. Today I'll be taught the word of God. I'll boldly confess, my mind is alert, my heart is receptive. I'm about to receive the incorruptible, indestructible, ever-living seed of the word of God. I'll never be the same. I believe it, and I receive it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, Weston, I really appreciate you talking about Palm Sunday today, because I'm really not a themed preacher. And I know it's Palm Sunday, and I thought about that, and I actually put some stuff in my notes about Palm Sunday today. And you did hear a message, already heard a message about Palm Sunday, so I'm excited for that. But what I was going to do is say, how many of you came solely today to hear a message on Palm Sunday? Raise your hand if you came here to hear a message on Palm Sunday. All right, I got one hand. Well, I will tell you that you are going to hear a message, and it is Palm Sunday. But Weston did it for us, so we're good. I also, because today is Palm Sunday, that means that next Sunday is Easter Sunday. And how many of you know that there are two, like the two most attended days in church a year? One is Christmas, and the other one is Easter. So invite somebody to Easter service. You know, the worst they can say is, well, no, but it plants that seed. The best they can say is, yeah, I'll come. I am living proof that going to an Easter service can change somebody's life, because that's what happened to me. I promised my mom that I would go with her to church for an Easter presentation, and I got saved. Last thing on my mind. The first thing on my mind was, oh, I can't believe I promised my mom I'd go. But I have to now. And my life was changed on that day, so. I've been having lots of technical issues today too, so hopefully they're done. We've prayed against them. So I've been doing a series, for those of you who have been here, I've been doing a series on things that, when I became a Christian and as I've progressed, things that have changed my life. And that was something that the Lord shared with me quite a while ago when I was asking about a certain message, and he said, just share the things that have, you know, where God has made an impact in my life, and messages that I've heard that have made an impact in my life. So I'm on that journey, and I believe that this is part 9 of that series, part 9 of messages that have changed Gary's life. So I've shared about praise and worship, finding our fit in the church, giving, dealing with temptation, that Jesus came for each one of us, the importance of getting in the Lord's presence as a group and as a congregation, the ability to perform miracles in Jesus' name and by the power of Jesus and standing firm. And then today was, it's funny, today I thought was going to be really easy. I knew the scripture to use starting with the first day that Pastor West started the series that he's on right now on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I thought, well, that makes sense. And you know, the Lord, like for me, when the Lord speaks, he just, I like, actually Pastor West taught me the saying, he just dropped it in my knower, right? It's like all of a sudden I knew that the scripture for today was the scripture to use, and I just knew that. And that was back in January. And me being being the person that I am, I would think things like, you know, great idea, God. That's an awesome scripture to use, you know, as a follow-up to Pastor's series on baptism in the Holy Spirit, and that it would either be to encourage folks after the series that may had not yet received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or for those that had, to kind of progress into the next steps with spiritual gifts. And here we are, and the series hasn't ended yet. So that there I go thinking I knew that what God had in plan for today, and I didn't. I just heard my phone text, so I'm gonna put it on vibrate. So the title of the message today is "Do I Feel the Zeal?" And I thought that was kind of catchy. And the scripture we're going to use is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 through 5. And I'll be reading it out of the New Testament. You can go there if you'd like to, but it definitely should be on the screen up above. But 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5. And while you're turning there, I'm going to look at this text. Sorry. And it wasn't that important, but it was somebody that was very important, so I thought I should read it. Everybody ready?
Yes.
All right. Again, 1 Corinthians 14. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, and they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today, God. I thank you that we can gather in your name. Father, you know all the notes that I have written down. Lord, if there's anything that you don't want me to say, I pray I don't say it. God, if there's anything that I have missed, I pray that you would just speak through me today. God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your presence. I thank you for life change. God, just instill your word in us today. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So the other thing that this is kind of a rare day for me is that normally I won't be following in Pastor's series, and this one kind of falls right in there, and I gotta believe that it falls right in there perfectly. A lot of the things that I say today may be refreshers on things that have been through the messages so far, and I would, if you haven't heard all of the messages in the series, I encourage you to go online and listen to those, because This series really, in your life as a Christian, can be and should be life-changing. No matter how long you've been a Christian, no matter where you are, following this series and pursuing the baptism in the Holy Spirit can be life-changing, not just to you, but to those around you as well. All right, so I want to break down the scripture a little bit. In verse 1, it says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit, especially prophecy. I also hope as I go through this, some things that I know things that I was taught previously, it opened my eyes to say, well, those people may have had good intentions, but they really didn't interpret the scripture the way the scripture should be interpreted, and I hope I can share that too. And I can share some experiences that I've had as well where I've seen that. So follow in verse 1, it means to pursue. And not, you know, if you think about pursuing, I've got a list a little bit later. We'll talk about things that we may pursue in the natural. But in this particular case, it's having a systematic way, almost, well, really kind of to harass when you're pursuing. And you know, what's one of the first things you think of in pursuit? One of the first things I think of when I hear the word pursuit is a police chase. Right, and think about a police chase when the cops are going after the criminal, right? And how relentless they can be, and how many people they get with them to keep chasing. And so if something happens to the first one in the chase and they have to fall off, there's others there to chase it. But pursuit. And so if you think of that pursuit, and again I got some more examples a little bit later, but. It's like a high-speed chase that we're not going to give up. That's the kind of pursuit that follow means. The way of love. The way of love is the Greek word agape. It's an active love of God for His Son and His people, and an active love His people are to have for God, each other, and even their enemies, which I know that's kind of hard to fathom too, right? Love your enemies. Pray for your enemies. It's the highest form of love. 1 Corinthians 13, and that's important to think about too. You know, 1 Corinthians 14, it says, eagerly pursue this love and the gifts of the Spirit. So if all you were to do is just open up 14 and say, okay, let's just follow chapter 14, it doesn't make as much sense unless you go back to previous chapters and look at verse 13, or I'm sorry, chapter 13 being one of them, where it's really the love chapter. And one of the most quoted scriptures in weddings is from 1 Corinthians 13. And it starts with love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, and goes on and on and on and on, right? And even those who would not consider themselves Christians will have that scripture as part of their wedding. So that's the kind of love in this chapter that we're being encouraged to follow, is the highest form of love, the agape love. Eagerly desire is to desire, or eagerly desire, to show zeal. Feel an attitude or emotion of deep concern. Webster's Dictionary says that zeal is eagerness and enthusiastic interest in pursuit of something. So we already talked about following as being pursuing, and here it's, you know, have that eager desire, or have that zeal for love and spiritual gifts. Moving on to the next step is gifts of the Spirit, which really is spiritual gifts or gifts from the Spirit. Many, but not all gifts are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. The gifts that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12 are a message of wisdom or words of wisdom, which is divine insight for specific situations. Message of knowledge or words of knowledge is supernatural understanding or revelation of facts. Faith, which is a special empowering faith for specific moments. Gifts of healing, which is supernatural restoration of health. There's one with gifts of healing that if you think about somebody who's healed, they've received that gift of healing when they've been healed. But there are others that really have that gift to believe in the healing and to pray for that healing and see others be healed. Miraculous powers, activities that go beyond natural capability. Prophecy, declaring the word of or will of God. Distinguishing of between spirits or discerning whether influences are divine, demonic, or human. Speaking in different kinds of tongues, speaking in an unknown or unlearned language. Interpretation of tongues is understanding and explaining tongues for the church or for the body. Again, those are the ones that are listed in 1 Corinthians 12. So we're instructed through chapter 14 to eagerly desire love and spiritual gifts. Still in verse 1, especially means more than. But when you look at it a little farther, what it really means is even more than. So when we're all you have to do is touch in the wrong place and bad things happen. Gotta love it. All right, so when it says the gifts of the Spirit and especially prophesy, especially means more than or even more than the others. So it doesn't say focus on prophecy, focus on being the one that prophesies. It says that we should focus on all of them, but more than the rest of them, focus on prophecy. And we'll talk a little bit more about prophecy, because that's actually the next word. And prophecy is to prophesy, to speak an inspired message, sometimes encouraging obedience to God, sometimes proclaiming the future as a warning to preparedness or continued obedience. And I love the Amplified Bible. It's really my favorite version to read. It just takes a long time, but it really breaks it out for me. And in the Amplified, prophesy means to interpret the divine will and purpose in inspired preaching and teaching. Moving on to verse 2, it says, for anyone who speaks in a tongue, does not speak to people but to God. Indeed, no one understands them. They utter mysteries by the Spirit. And Pastor has talked a lot about through the series in tongues and the different types of tongues as well. The tongue means a language, sometimes refers to the supernatural gift of tongues, which he's also talked about as well, right? There's your prayer language, which is speaking or praying in tongues, and then tongues with interpretation is being used as a gift in the church, as we read in 1 Corinthians 12. And then God in verse 2 is the one true God. Understands, and it really is no one understands. understands is to hear, pay attention, understand, and obey. The Spirit in verse 2 is really translated to be the wind, breath, things which are commonly perceived as having no material substance. As where we're concerned, it would be our spirits, our heart, our mind, the immaterial part of the inner person that can respond to God. So that when we're praying in our prayer language, our spirit is praying to God. We don't understand, but the spirit does, and God does. Verse 3, it says, "But the one who prophesies speaks to people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort." Prophecy, same prophecy as above. To prophesy, to speak inspired messages, encourage. Sometimes it could be a future warning. Strengthening is building them up. Encouraging is encouragement, comfort. And comfort is again, comfort. Pretty easy. Verse 4, it says, "Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church." Edifies is to build up, or to build up, to rebuild. Themselves is himself, herself, itself, themselves. It's not specific to he. It's us. It's all of us. It builds us up. And then the church is the congregation or the assembly. People gathered together. Verse 5, it says, "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy." The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. And that was one where, as I was looking through verse 5, I'm sure that I had heard it before, but it just kind of brought it back to life. And I haven't run across any of these folks in a while, but I'm sure that the potential's there. But people will take that scripture and they want to be the prophet because the prophet is the greatest according to the scripture. But what they aren't looking at is what does that scripture really mean? And many of folks that have been self-proclaimed prophets really don't always exude that love either. And I don't know if anybody else has ever experienced that, but have seen that. They have the potential to think of themselves to be on a higher level or greater because, the Bible there at face value, the Bible says that if you are a prophet or if you prophesy that you are greater than the others. And again, the biggest thing to think of is love. Am I doing it in love? Am I using the agape love when I present that message? So when Paul says, "I would like," Paul's really saying, I have the desire. I have the desire that every one of you speak in tongues. And every one of us is easily translated as all. So the word rather, it really means more than. And I'm hoping that I didn't get way off here. "I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy." That's it. So Paul, in this scripture, again, writing down God's desire is that I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. Or I would like all of you to speak in tongues, but more than that, I'd like you to be able to interpret the divine will and purpose of God. He's not saying don't speak in tongues. It's not, it's unnecessary. We've already seen that it helps build us up. And building us up helps get us in that place to be used in other gifts as well. So greater, this is one where I really believe more folks that are, you know, have claimed to be prophets should really look at what the greater means. And the idea is not that they are greater because they prophesy, but that, it's funny how I walk away. The idea is that it adds more value, right? If someone were to speak an intelligible word, if someone were to speak in plain English to us something from God and we could understand it, it adds more value than it does if we were to just stand up here and pray in tongues or speak in tongues. However, it goes on to say that unless someone interprets, and someone interprets is to interpret or translate or explain what those tongues were. So again, it's saying that prophecy in an assembly, someone to prophesy, is greater value than someone that's just going to pray in their prayer language. But someone giving a message in tongues with someone else to interpret it, adds that much more value. And again, this message really isn't about, or isn't intended to be about spiritual gifts and pulling those all apart, but it really is about pursuing those gifts and pursuing love and pursuing the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And that's really where I believe that the Lord intended this scripture for today. As pastor's still going through his series and preparing us for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and for those who may not have received it and have been pursuing it, is to continue to pursue it and some ideas on how to pursue it to be prepared for the day that we actually do come to the point where folks are called up front to pray to receive it. So when I think about being eager and pursuing something, I had a lot of thoughts that came to mind. And I want to share some of those thoughts. My question, and my question is, how eager are you? How eager am I? How eager was I when I learned about the baptism of the Holy Spirit to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And when I think about being eager for things and pursuing things, one of the first ones that comes to mind was when I was pursuing April, my future spouse, when I was 19 years old. And how much effort I put into wanting to be that perfect spouse for her, knowing from the minute that I met her that I was going to marry her, maybe within the first 5 minutes. But we were picking out furniture 4 days later. My advice to anyone who is pursuing a spouse or a newlywed is never stop pursuing. That's a freebie. Pursuing a job. Things are a little different nowadays than it was when I was young. If you wanted a job, you went and you hounded them. You went every day to say, "Hey, have you filled that job yet? I still think I'm the perfect person for that job," right? pursuing that job. Here's a good one. How about cars? I want that car, right? Hey, my 1985 Buick LeSabre with a wood board holding up the front seat was great transportation. Had 250,000 miles on it, and it started every time I put the key in it, right? But man, I would have loved to have had something that wasn't that 85 Buick LeSabre, right? A hot rod, I had a really nice four-wheel drive truck, and I've shared that before too, that I was given the Buick, which was a blessing from God, and it allowed me to sell my Ford F-250 four-wheel drive that was bright red, that allowed me to be able to pay my tithe. The car was a great car, but what would you do to pursue that dream car? The next one on my list is my motorcycle. You know, what would I do to pursue my motorcycle? And I have a great motorcycle. It's we got to pay cash for it. It's going to be 20 years old next year. But when the time came, and it's like, I want that motorcycle, and what can I do to get that? I was trying to find a video of a kid that was throwing a fit because he couldn't get the toy that he wanted. But it brought back to my remembrance, and I don't know, there's maybe a couple of people that'll remember this, but Tang back in the 70s, you know, Tang, the drink that the astronauts drank, right? And you could buy a bottle of Tang, powdered drink mix, that had a Land Rover taped to the side of it. And man, did I want that Land Rover. Or what is that, what it's called? Lunar Rover. I wanted that thing really bad. And I didn't really throw a fit, but I'm like, Mom, I'll drink that Tang. She goes, you're not going to like that. I go, yeah, I think I love it. I know I've never had it, but, you know, that's the drink of astronauts. And I don't think I was too obnoxious when I was doing it, but the woman at the grocery register, she goes, you know what? And she took it, she tore it off and handed it to me, and then put the bottle back on the edge. So I got it, but I really don't think I was an obnoxious kid, throwing a tantrum, laying on the ground. I was just saying, you know, I really, really, really want this. You know, for others, it might be clothing. That you have clothing that you want. Shoes. Some people really like shoes. How about purses? That's not one of mine. For those of you who couldn't hear, April said, oh my gosh, it is too. Yeah, no, I like to buy April purses. Maybe I should end quickly here. It could be a house, right? That dream house. And you just want that dream house. You know, most of those things, if not all of those things, are probably obtainable. But in a lot of those cases, we got to put in a lot of extra work to get the money to be able to get those things, right? And, you know, when we talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when we talk about the spiritual gifts, I think it's fair to say that we may have to put some work in. It's a free gift. I want to make sure I don't contradict what I'm saying, right? As God is willing to give it, and he's willing to give it to all. It's there for all of us. But I do believe that there are times that we can, again, it says pursue. It says eagerly desire, right? Those are things of taking action, us pursuing, us eagerly desiring. Those are actions that we are instructed to take through the word to go after those free gifts. It almost seems contradictory, but it's not, right? It's like when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you are going to operate in those gifts, it's important. It's being a representative for God. right? And we should use those gifts correctly and rightly. You know, we can practice and we fail, and that's how we learn. But we should be, you know, we should use them with decency and to honor God. So what are some things that we can do to help in that pursuit and help to in that eager desire? Read, and I'm going to just share some different ways to do this. So this was a good one. My mom gave me a Bible study on spiritual gifts. As many of you know, I grew up in a denomination that although they believed in spiritual gifts, they didn't practice spiritual gifts. And my mom shared that she had gone to a healing service, and the first thing they said was, "Yes, this is a healing service, but don't expect that anybody's going to get healed." And that one, when I heard that, it really confused me. And then it actually helped her move on to find a church where they did believe in that the Bible's true, the gifts are real and for today, and that we should expect and we should desire for those to take place, and we should pray. What was cool is the Bible study that she gave me was actually published at 1819 Newton in Southeast Grand Rapids, and when I read that, that was the house I grew up in. And for the life of me, I loaned it to somebody, and I've been searching, once the internet came into play, I searched a couple times, and I started searching again this week to see if I could find a copy of it, but I'm going to have to reach out to the person that I gave it to and say, "Hey, any chance that, you know, 28 years ago when I gave you this Bible study, that you still have it? Because I would really like to have it back." But that was just amazing to me to open that up. I mean, it was a three-bedroom ranch in Southeast Grand Rapids, was a publishing house. Somebody must have published it out of their basement. But the house I grew up in, the house that my parents moved to Grand Rapids from South Haven to live in when I was 3 years old, so my dad could get a job at the place where I have now worked for 42 years. I don't really believe in coincidence anymore. Come on, iPad. Fast. So yeah, the first one, read. We should read. We should research. Get it inside us. Fast. Jesus fasted. Right? Jesus also said when the religious rulers would ask Jesus, "Well, why aren't your disciples fasting?" He'd say, "Oh, there'll be a time." And there still is a time, but fast. Again, it's a way for us to get closer to God. It's a way for us to deny our flesh to increase our spirit. Right now it's Lent, and Lent is a great opportunity every year to think about of a time to fast. Find something you want to fast from for 40 days and use that time to get closer to God. Pray every chance you get. Pray in season, pray out of season. Pray from the time you, every moment, talk to God. Discuss, talk to others and get their story. Ask them to pray with you and for you. I had a really good friend, Kevin, and he's still a really good friend, and he was one that I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord. The first one that I had led to the Lord after I was born again. And he came to church with me, and there was I don't know if you would call it revival or awakening. I guess it depends on who you were at the time. It may have been a revival for those who had been Christians for a long time, and it was an awakening for those of us who were new to Christ. But the presence of God and the power of God was evident, and miracles were taking place, and the gifts of the Spirit in full use. And my friend Kevin, he wouldn't care. There was people, the altars were filled all the time. People were being overcome by the power and presence of God and just falling to the floor. They couldn't stand in this presence. I don't understand it. But I know that God, sometimes God does more in somebody that's laying on the floor in a couple of minutes than they've done in their entire lifetime. All right? I don't know why we don't see it all the time anymore, but we did, and I know there are counterfeits, right? And I've seen that where people will grab somebody by the ears. It's kind of hard to stand up if somebody's grabbing you by the ears and flipping you over backwards, right? But I also know and have experienced that it's real. My friend Kevin, he comes up, he goes, Gary, he said, them people fall on the floor. He said, I don't believe in that. And he says, in the tongue stuff, he says, I don't believe in that either. And a couple guys came up, prayed for him. He landed flat on his back on the floor and got up screaming in tongues. It was awesome. And he became a chaplain. He became a fire department chaplain. And he travels all over ministering to firefighters. It's funny, my eyes are kind of teary, so what I thought was said repent, I thought I didn't write that down, so but let's talk about that. You know, is there anything, as we pray, is there anything that could be separating you from that gift? Repent. Move on. Once you repent, once you ask for forgiveness, it's gone. We're the ones that hold on to it, and it's the enemy of our soul that tries to beat on us and say, oh, you can't be forgiven of that. Repent. Let it be gone. Let it go. Be free from it. And then the last one, which is what I really did have write down, is repeat. Repeat all of those things. Just keep going. Pursue it. Go, go, go. Chase, chase, chase. Follow, follow, follow. Don't give up. Somebody can say, I've been pursuing it for years. Say, great. Pursue it for another day. Pursue it for another hour. Whatever. Don't give up. Keep going. Pursue, pursue, pursue. Go, go, go. You know, is there anything right now that you have a real desire for? And if there is, and you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, I would say, whatever that thing is that you're desiring right now, and you haven't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, put that thing on the side and eagerly pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Eagerly pursue the love. Eagerly pursue the gifts of the Spirit. Boy, I'm going long. I gotta get this down. So we are part of the Assemblies of God. We're a fellowship of the Assemblies of God. We have 16 fundamentals of faith that if you want to be part of the Assemblies of God Church, you agree to uphold those tenets of faith. They're all rooted in Scripture, and there's lots of Scripture here. We have pamphlets, or there should be pamphlets still, unless they've all been grabbed on the fundamentals. And one of them, number 7, is the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And it says, all believers are entitled to and should ardently expect and earnestly seek the promise of the Father, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and fire, according to the command of our Lord Jesus Christ. This was the normal experience of all of the early Christian church. With it comes the endowment of power for life and service, the bestowment of gifts, and their uses in the work of ministry. And there are lots of, again, there's in that you can look it up online. Can get into the pamphlets depending on how you like to do that research, but it does say this experience is distinct from subsequent to the experience of new birth, which Pastor Wes has already spoke about in a series, and lots of scriptures to back that up. And then with baptism in the Holy Spirit comes such experience as an overflowing of fullness of the Spirit, a deepened reverence for God, an intensified consecration to God and dedication to his work, and a more active love for Christ for his word and for the lost. And scripture's there to back that up as well. So, and as you know, sometimes I will take the scripture and break it all down and provide you with the Gary-inspired version, which I'm not going to do today because I read the Message, which again, the Message is, it's good plain English, not really a, you know, a Bible that you can study from because it's really been broken out, but it is good to be able to read it and give you some understanding. So, the heading in the Message for 1 Corinthians 14, 1 through 5 says prayer language. It says, go after a life of love as if your life depended on it, because it does. Give yourselves to the gifts of that to the gifts God gives you. Most of all, try to proclaim his truth. If you praise him in a private language of tongues, God understands you, but no one else does, for you are sharing intimacies just between you and him. But when you proclaim his truth in everyday speech, you're letting others in on the truth so that they can grow and be strong and experience his presence with you. Verse 4 and 5, it says, the one who prays using a private prayer language certainly gets a lot out of it, but proclaiming God's truth to the church in its common language brings the whole church into growth and strength. I want all of you to develop intimacies with God in prayer, but please don't stop with that. Go on and proclaim his clear truth to others. It's more important that everyone have access to the knowledge and love of God in language everyone understands than that you go off and cultivate God's presence in a mysterious prayer language. Unless, of course, there is someone who can interpret what you are saying for the benefit of all. And praise team, if you want to come up. And I will tell you as well that there are folks in this congregation that regularly attend that do have the gift of interpreting tongues. It is a gift that isn't that we don't see often, but it is still a gift that can and should be used today. And it's a gift that will draw, really draw non-believers of being in awe, and Pastor West does a great job of explaining it when it does happen. So again, I know, you know, Pastor's going to continue with the series. Not sure how long it will go. But the goal at the end of the series is that for anyone who has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, will be encouraged to seek and pursue it. And that there will be a time to come up and you know, pray and have laying on of hands and praying for it, and have seen it, you know, dozens if not hundreds of times in my time as being a Christian, and again happened. I experienced it 30 years ago. But I believe what the Lord is really encouraging us today is this. And actually, when Pastor started his series, he started out with using this scripture. Eagerly desire, eagerly pursue. Pursue love, pursue the gifts, pursue the baptism of the Holy Spirit to be able to operate in that love and operate in those gifts. And I just, again, just want to encourage you as we get closer to the end of Pastor's series is just do that, eagerly desire and eagerly pursue. I know there are folks in this congregation that would love to have discussions with you as well and pray for you to get to that point, so you get to that point. If there's anything that may, You know, you may be hearing this series for the first time in your life. I know at one time that's the way it was for me. I had no idea. It wasn't something that was practiced as I grew up. But many, many of us would love to talk with you about it, answer any questions that you may have. You don't have to wait till the end of the series either. You know, it could be like my friend Kevin. And Kevin, he was doing the opposite of eagerly pursuing. He was eagerly denying. And God said, "Well, I think I'm going to show you." And Kevin, and he also knew, God knew what Kevin's purpose was and what impact he was going to have on the world for God. And I believe that many of you are called for similar purposes. You know, people can minister under their own strength and their own knowledge. But why would you want to do that when you could have the power of God ministering through you? So the altar call today for me is, I think it's just pretty easy. It's if you want to increase that desire, then just come to the altar. And special things happen at the altar. You can do it in your seat too, I know that. But I'm telling you, getting up out of your chair and taking that walk to the front. We're a family. It's humbling yourself before God to be able to do that, making that public declaration that this is something I want to do. Again, you don't have to, but you are sure welcome to and encouraged to. All right? Prayer partners, if you want to come up, if anyone comes forward and you want the prayer partners to pray with you and for you, just get their attention. They'll come over and pray with you, or you can go to them and they'll pray with you. But if you want that, you want more desire, you feel like you need more desire, want to pursue, then come on up. And let's just pray while folks are coming. Lord, we thank you for your word, God. We thank you for your truth. God, I pray for anybody right now that may be embarrassed to get up. God, that you would ease that. Take that anxiety away, God. Just take that away, God. I pray for freedom for those who want to pursue you, Lord, for those who know that they want to increase their desire. Father, as the weeks go, the days go, Lord, I pray that you would prepare hearts to receive your baptism. Father, I thank you for the power that comes from it, God, the gifts, Lord, those in your body that are going to be used in your gifts. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name.